is the Revisionary Podcast with your host, Juan Carlos. The Revisionary
Podcast. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Revisionary Podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Juan Carlos. I'm actually very excited to have you guys all here. Thank you guys for listening to the Revisionary Podcast. If this is your first time listening, the way this works is we bring on guests, usually comedians, who tell a nonfiction story about their lives in which they wish things had gone a little bit differently. Afterwards, I give them an opportunity to tell the same exact story, except this time they can change any facts or details that they would like. And a few things here. First and foremost, a lot of people forget that this is a team effort. You only hear my voice, but I'm only one part of this equation. You know, there's the man behind the curtains who's pulling all the strings, who makes this podcast click. And that man is our audio engineer, Phil. Without him, none of this would be possible. And I want to say that this past week was actually his birthday. So I want to wish him a very happy belated birthday. And, you know, and I want to highlight him and shout him out because he's invaluable to this podcast. And I feel like he doesn't get enough thanks for his contributions to this podcast. Like, this really is a team effort, and he's a huge part of the team. So thank you, Phil, if you're listening. And I want to wish you again a happy belated birthday. Thank you for all that you do for the Revisionary Podcast. In addition to that, I must say I'm very excited for our next guest. Some of you guys, if you're a sneakerhead, you definitely follow her on Instagram. You might know her as Kick It With Didi or Didi. But see, here's the thing. Even though, you know, she's super huge in the sneaker world and a lot of people know her and people follow her and she's like a big deal in the sneaker world, I've known Damaris since she was 10. So I just call her Damaris because that's how far back we go. Like, this is someone I met almost like 15 to 20 years ago. So we like knew each other as kids, and this is just wild. You know, we grew up in the Bronx together. PX for Life 718, you guys already know. So I'm really excited that she's decided to join us on this podcast. Like, it's just kind of cool how two people who started out in such similar situations, you know, and how our paths are now diverging together again. So I'm really excited. And you know what? I don't even want to waste any more time. I want to go ahead and get her on the line. So without further ado, let's get Didi, as you guys can call her, but Damaris, as I can call her, on the line.
Hello, Damaris. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys? How are you, Juan?
I am doing so well. For those of you guys listening in, this is Damaris. She is, like, dope. Everyone knows her for her sneakers, and, like, she's big in the sneaker world. But I'm super excited to have her here today because she and I go way back. Like, literally, we've known each other since we were kids. This is crazy, right?
It's crazy because back then when we was in middle school, I wasn't into the sneakers that much because I couldn't afford it. And anything that I was able to get, I get. But now I get a lot.
Don't worry. I wasn't funny back then, so it's fine. It's all worked out, right? So why don't you tell people a little bit about how you got here? Like, how did you get into the sneaker world?
So, starting when I was in Kip, you know, I was bullied and teased because of what I was wearing with my on my feet and stuff. And I got tired of it. So I took the collecting more seriously. And then when I noticed that I was the only female doing this, I was getting annoyed by that. And then also the fact that I was getting so much access to so many sneakers and a lot of people that needed help, I was able to help them in any type of way.
So just so our revisionaries know exactly what you mean, could you explain to us a little bit about sneaker culture and how it works and, like, what you mean by collecting? Like, take us into your world.
So I've been collecting sneakers for 15 years. I'd rather be known as a collector than anything else. In order to be respected, you need to collect your sneakers and know about your sneakers. So that's what I'm going to be known for. So pretty much what I do as well when it comes to sneakers is that I know about reselling. I'm one of the first people to know about every sneaker that comes out, every release. And I post it on my page so people could know firsthand before anyone else the release. And also resell. As you can tell, every sneaker comes out as a resell price. I'm one of the people who's up to date about reselling of pricing and marketing. So I post that on my page as well for people to be up to date.
Okay, so now the whole culture is like when I see, I think of like the sneaker world and the culture. First off, I think of like celebrities wearing banging sneakers. But that aside, like all I think of is long lines and, you know, just waiting. Could you explain to us how the drops work and all that?
Oh, God. Well, back then, before we had regular drops, it was first come, first serve, get the sneakers in and out. Previously, there's been more to the point that price was getting in and all that stuff, and companies and stores was getting annoyed because they was getting trouble with that as well. So now they dubbed it as raffles, which is harder to handle now. And now people got to get their way to win raffles and stuff. So my job is to make sure everyone knows who's doing raffles, who's doing what, who's doing first come, first serve. I'm the informative. I'm like the TMZ of sneakers, pretty much.
The TMZ of sneakers. I like that. Okay. So first off, I don't know if you know this. You probably don't remember because I know it was a while back. Back in middle school, my shoe game was way better than it is now. I actually used to rock, the snake skins in the baby blue. Do you remember those?
Those were the only two sneakers you wore, like you really wore, because you wasn't really into it as much. And like a lot of people, cool.
No, I mean, I wasn't into it, but those were like my favorite sneakers ever. And I'm so mad that I kind of like wore them like down all the way. I used to wear nothing but J's in middle school though, so don't play me. All right, I had like 4 or 5 pairs of J's on rotation. Thank you very much.
I'm not gonna lie, like back then it was rough for me because I wasn't touching much Jordans in care. I was mainly touching Timberlands. I was mainly touching Air Forces. I was touching Air Maxes. Like Air Maxes was my thing. And then when I got to high school, I did the Dunks. And it wasn't until my sophomore in high school, which was 08, that's when I started getting more access to Jordans, and I didn't stop.
So what changed around that time that you were able to get access to Jordans?
So when Jeans Plus was still open, the owner noticed that I was there every week and I was one of his loyal customers. So I remember one day, True Flights, the first retros came out the very first time, and there was a long line, but I was the only female there. It was mainly grown ass men. So when the owner started noticing that I was camping on and all that, he was like, you know what? Here, take a pair. Like, you young. Why are you around with grown ass men and fighting over grown ass men while you're 15, 16 years old? And two, I'm a loyal customer. So once I started, got that build up, and also as well, he was giving me access to early sneakers before release date around that time. That's when I started to get more. And the thing was, what people don't understand, back then, the only social media that was only available was MySpace and Facebook. We had no Instagram. We had none of that. Plus, Facebook was just beginning. So we didn't have the Facebook access that's going on now with the message and all of that. We just had a simple social media. So I would just post all my information there too. So once I started getting more deeper and deeper, that's when I started the collecting. But what kind of paused me back was that Jeans Plus, they closed down. The reason why they closed down was because the owner was too selfish and didn't want to pay Nike. In case you didn't know, in order these stores to have Nikes and all these brands for retail, you have a contract. You got to pay for the release and stuff. The owner was too greedy and didn't want to pay the bills of Nike, and Nike took their account and he just went out of business.
Gotcha. Didn't that just happen to another store in the Bronx?
Couple stores was doing that. Dr. J's happened to that and they went out of business. Models, that happened, and they're now out of business. What else? BX Sports, that happened last year and they went out of business. So like a lot of these mom and pop shops is slowly dying off because they're not paying back the amount that they're supposed to owe to Nike or Jordan brand.
Is there like a huge profit margin when you're paying these? Because I imagine that like Nike's charging them a lot.
No. Nike charges them a regular MSRP amount so that they can make the actual exact profit margin that they're supposed to make with their accounts. So Nike knows how much they're supposed to profit and everything. Now, there's been situations before that some of these stores would cheat their way and do reselling and all of that. And a lot of them got caught and Nike took their accounts, and that's why they went out of business.
Got you.
So the key thing is to make sure you don't get caught when it comes to shit like that.
So hold on. So you say do it, just don't get caught. That's what you're telling exactly. me?
Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, in case you know, last month, one of the head corporate people from Nike, mind you, she makes millions of dollars a year with Nike, got caught because her son was using her corporate credit card buying Yeezys.
Oh, I see.
So she has a Nike corporate credit card from Nike that she could buy for releases and everything, and her son used it for Adidas. Now, she got away. She was getting away with it until they saw the receipts. And when they saw the receipts that they had shit from Adidas, that's when they started to investigate, and that's how the shit got blown up and everything.
That's crazy to me.
So, yeah.
So they weren't even mad that he was reselling. They were just mad that he went to Adidas and gave him their money.
Well, they were mad at that as well because they figured out how much money he was making per pair. And also that he was using discounts. He was using his mom discount. In case you know, a regular footwear, you get like a 20-30%. His mom was getting 50% off per pair. So, for example, the sneakers is retail, Off-White. Retail's $200. He was getting the pairs for $100 a pair and was reselling them for $900.
Oh, my God.
You want to know how many pairs he was able to get? 100. So, do the math.
That's like $9,000?
800 profit.
Yeah.
Times 100 pairs. That's $80,000 to $800,000.
Oh, my gosh. Yo, will you look at that? That is wild.
And you understand why people do this?
Oh, 100%. No, I 100% get it. Like, it's never been lost to me. I know this because I tried. So I'm going to back up a little bit here. I'm like super into it. Like, during the pandemic, I got into 2K, right? Like, that just became my thing. I started playing a lot of 2K. All of a sudden, I'm looking at sneakers again. Like, oh, you know, these look cool. I'm looking at the Kobe 6s, the Mambas, the in highlighter green. I was like, oh, yeah, who else would want to wear these, right? Go look them up. When I saw how much they were, I was like, you know what? I'm done with sneakers. That's it. I can't. Yo, the way my bank account's set up, we're not doing this no more.
My boyfriend, he's a diehard Kobe fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder for him to get Kobe's now. And now that Kobe no longer is with Nike,
right?
Everything jacked up.
Yeah, I'd imagine. But we're going to talk about sneakers a whole bunch more. That was just a quick sneak preview for those of you guys who are out there listening. But let's jump right into this. Damaris, the stage is yours. Go ahead and tell us your story.
I remember this like clear water like yesterday. I was a sophomore in college. This was when I ended my sophomore year. Two sneakers released that summer. That was the biggest, like, people was fighting, cops was called and everything. Nike Air Yeezy 2s when Kanye was still with Nike, and the LeBron Soft Breach 9s. Now, back then, everyone did first come, first serve. But when it came to Nike Yeezys, that's when they first started raffles. Back then, when they first started, was Twitter. Link, $5. You get in. If you don't, you don't. Some stores did a random address on the Twitter, and you will meet someone with like 30 tickets, so you could get one per person. Okay. For the Nike Yeezys, only 5 stores in New York City had pairs. Each store only had 35 pairs. Altogether in New York City, if you look at it, that's 175 each in the store altogether in the city. There's no more than 500 pairs. Now, in New York City alone, there's about 300,000 sneakerheads that's trying to get this sneaker.
That's but a lot.
There's only 500 pairs. Now, imagine the animosity and how crazy it was back in 2012.
So that's a hell of a flex. You just walking out with a box like, yo, you can't have this. That's wild.
First of all, the sneaker back then was selling for $2,500 the second you walked out the door.
Oh my God.
And the sneaker was only $216 after tax.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get the shoes, but I knew people who was able to get the shoes. I was just their bodyguard because I knew the people and everything. Three stores in Harlem in the same block did first come, first serve. So everyone, even resellers, everyone assembled troops, 20, 30 bodies, 10 in each store. I only have five. I was only with five people and we all split up. One store said, we're not getting the sneakers. So we thinking, okay, they're not getting the sneakers. 10 minutes later, they post, oh, here's the address where we're going to post the tickets. Please come over here. Boom. All of a sudden, you see every person stealing bikes, stealing cabs, like going crazy to go to this location. And then at that, the location, they only had 10 tickets. So there's a swarm of like 200 people trampling on top of this one man who has...
Hold on. Let's back up here for a second. So you guys were all together when the news dropped. Where were you guys? In Harlem?
Harlem. You know Adam Clay Powell? So...
Yeah.
So Adam Clay, you got Atmos over here. You got the Apollo Theater. You got Jimmy Jazz. You got Champs. You got House of...
Got you.
So we was all in that strip because all the stores were connected in that same block.
So got you. Hold on. And then this drop, right, where you were meeting this person, was it like far away or like how close are we talking?
Yes, it was a mile.
So okay, got you.
25th where we was at, the location was in Rutgers.
Ah, yeah, from 25th to Rutgers. Okay, I see you. That's
got yeah, you. That's a trip from one.
Just a little bit, yeah.
That's a trip. So the only way you would get there is through WIP or if you knew someone that lived nearby. So by the time I got there, I was fine. But only two people that I knew personally was able to get. So they pay me whatever they want just to get the tickets. It's the day of the release. And the three stores that was in the same block opened up their gates. One store that had only 10 tickets, in actuality, had 50 pairs. So the people that was there, they just let them get the rest of the pairs. Second store, you had another, they did first come, first serve, but the cop shut it down. So there was, for the people that was like the first 10 there, they just let them grab the pairs, and the employees just kept the pairs for themselves, so the employees ate.
So let me ask you something else now for clarification, because I want to make sure I understand this. When you guys are buying sneakers, right, and you're referring to sneakers, is there like a premium on certain sizes versus other sizes?
Yes. Back then, when it came to that sneaker, if you had anything from a men's 6 to a men's 8, that's the golden money. Because
sneaker
sizes, that's very, very hard to find. Especially on that Yeezy. I'm a 6. There's females that's a 6. There's males that are a 6. So you got to understand these smaller sizes, males and females are looking for these. So that happened. Then the third store,
right.
They gave out their pairs. I remember this one kid had two pairs in his hand. Two pairs in his hand, all of a sudden, I just saw someone went like this and just.
So they swung at him.
Swung at him, lights out, grabbed the pairs, ran.
So the dude comes out, he's rocking two pairs, he gets clocked, then what happened?
He gets clocked, everyone is just looking at him like, not doing nothing. They're just like, oh my God. Like typical New Yorkers. And instead of helping them, and was like, oh my God. I just ran the other way because I was scared. Like, I'm a girl. Like, back, like, I was the only girl doing.
Yeah.
I was mainly surrounded by dudes. So that's how people knew about me because I was one of the only few females that was camping out for sneakers that was really doing this for sneakers. Like, this is a male dominant thing. It's mainly dudes does this. So when a female does this, it's very weird and different. But now that I finally get the respect that I earned because I've been out here.
I respect it. Because I know, like what I'm saying, I know that world. Let me back up. Not that world. I grew up in New York too, you know what I'm saying? So I know how sometimes it is. And the fact that you just out there hustling and tussling, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with it. So now what do you have, like a wicked right hook or something like that? Like, how do you...
Well, now with me, since I know so much information, a lot of stores will be like, hey, we got this. Do you want this? Or... let's say if it's something a very woman's exclusive, they'll be like, hey, we got such and such pairs. Can you please send off a list of girls that you know that will get these sneakers? So now I'm helping a lot people getting their sneakers. And that's another issue now. There's a lot of people that struggle to get their sneakers. There's people who's not into sneakers that just want one pair and they need help with that too. So I love helping people get their sneakers. Like, there's been situations before people spend a lot of money on a certain sneaker, but at least they got their sneaker, you know? Like, right. It's harder now to get sneakers. You can't just walk in the store and try on the sneaker anymore. Like,
oh no, 100%.
You can't. Like, you just grab and leave. And situations before that, if you want a sneaker, if you want to try on a sneaker, they can't allow you to try on a sneaker or anything. You just got to grab the sneaker and leave.
Why? Because it's that, like, competitive?
That one. And two, let's say the sneaker doesn't fit you and you gotta get a different size. That sneaker, that it gets devalued because you already tried it on.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's another thing when it comes to sneakers. It doesn't matter. Let's say you just try it on just to try on your foot. You already devalue the worth of the sneaker.
Damn, how do people know that you've worn it?
I know. If I know, then a lot of people know as well.
So let's back up because I got to get it back on track.
Okay.
So now you're saying stuff's going on. Okay. So you're talking about how dangerous. So what happened next?
Oh, I came back. I came back to Adam Clay. People still talking about the situation and everything, but... It was cleared out already. It was cleared out already. Cops was there and everything. So I just went to be nosy to see what happened. But it's a lot of stuff happened that day. And I know so many people that I bump into to this day that were there. And we still talk and laugh about it. I haven't seen the guy since who got knocked out. Like, that's the part. And the thing about
he's still unconscious, actually.
Yeah, I know he's alive and everything. But the thing about it is that most of the people that was there who witnessed it, I bump into them. And I haven't still bumped into the dude. And I'm still, I hope he's alive so I could bump into him and be like, hey, remember you got knocked out for your two pairs of Yeezys? Yeah. And the thing about it is that, like, a lot of these situations when I would camp out and stuff, I will get into confrontations with dudes. Because either they will say something smart or they will skip me. That's another thing. A lot of dudes used to skip me in the line. And when I used to bark and then when I used to hit back, they used to stop. You know, it's unfortunate, but yeah.
So what were you saying when you were barking?
Oh, I will curse them out. I will violate them in any type of way. Like, I remember there was this one dude. And he looked like he had a broke ass Pele jacket. And I just disrespected his Pele jacket. And he was very insulted by that. Because one thing in New York, you don't insult a guy's like clothing or anything. So when I was, this was like talking about how bad his Pele jacket was, he was getting more and more mad.
One time I was leaving a bar in New York City and some girl came for my clothes, my outfit as I was leaving the bar. So I came for her edges and that got real disrespectful real quick.
Why would you go for a girl's edges?
Bruh, she came at my clothes, yo. There was no need for all that, man. I was like feeling real vulnerable, you know what I'm saying? Because I was leaving the bar alone. So can't be doing that to a guy, you know what I'm saying? It was like 2 a.m. too.
Oh my God. So she had to be
drunk. I was just trying to mind my business.
She had to be drunk and stuff.
Nah, that's the thing. I don't even think she was. So here's the thing, yo. Here's the embarrassing part about this. I must have been like a solid 24, 25. She must have been like 19, yo. 18. So she was even out drinking.
Well, you just violated a young, like a teenager.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Don't come for my clothes. Come on now. Here's my thing. If you can't take a joke, then don't come for someone. You know what I mean?
That's why I keep my mouth shut, because I could just look at you and I, by the energy, if I know you're the type of person that you could like talk back and your reflex is that quick, I wouldn't test you.
That's what I'm saying. And the other thing is like, yo,
because his reflex is quick.
It cuts back, right?
Yo, disrespectful. Like, there's been situations I'll be talking about his weight because he's a little chubby. Like, yo, shut up, chubby boy. He just be like, what? And then he just be like, yo, shave your legs. Yo, fix your hair. Yo, keep me going in.
See, so in case y'all were wondering, she's into chubby guys. So, so anyway, I won't throw out your other business because I know what else you into, but that's not neither here nor this. That's not important right now. So if you could retell this story, right?
Yeah.
What would you change about it?
There's a lot of things I would change.
Let's hear it.
First of all, I will make sure I will have a load of money so I could buy every pair in that block. Two, I will make sure I will have like 20 bodies on me. Three, I will make sure that I will be like, all my bodies will be like the first people in the line. So that I wouldn't have all of this hassle and all of this issue. And also, like, I wish I was stronger enough. I could have protected the guy.
So here's the thing about it. Let's talk about this. I've seen the show Narcos. And the way you're describing the sneaker game, it sounds like you're Pablo Escobar in the whole Narcos situation.
There's a lot of dudes that have a mentality like this. Like, I know there's one... I remember back in the days, this one reseller had 40 bodies. I remember someone would bring in 20 bodies. Like, and the way they would split up the profit and how they would organize it is like the same thing as drug business. If you think about it.
Who knows that many people? Like, I don't think I have 40 numbers in my phone right now.
Oh, I have a... I'm even...
Listen, like, stop flexing on me. Stop flexing! No, okay. So let's go through this. So okay, so the first thing you said you would change is the amount of people you have.
The amount of people I will have with me, because I will make sure that I will have a lot of pairs. Money. I wish I was making the money now back then, because I could have got access to so many sneakers, and I could have, like, back then I was so focused on myself to buy wear for myself that I could have got multiple pairs. But I only care for myself and for anyone else who wanted pairs. Now it's like, damn, like Damaris, like you have so much access to sneakers. You could have taken advantage of any type of way, but I have a kind heart, you know. Unfortunately, I have a kind heart. So you know how that goes. But also,
so
yeah.
Would you have been like a Robin Hood with the extra money, or would you just have been flipping?
Flip.
And like control the market?
Flipping and control the market.
Okay.
I would have been flipping and controlling the market. I would have had a house right now. And if I would have, honestly, I would have had a house if I would have done that.
Okay. And is this what you're doing full time now? Is this like your full time job?
This is my full time job now.
Okay.
So it's
that's pretty dope.
It's stressful, but I'm able to now manage my schedule. Like, yes, I still have a full-time 9-to-5. So I have two full-time. So sneakers is my full-time, and then I have a regular full-time 9-to-5, and I'm able to balance both of them out without any issues. It's hectic and it's stressful, but if I could do it, you guys could do it. I do this as well because a lot of people is like, oh, how can I do this while I'm doing this and such and that? I'm like, if I could do it, here's how I do it. Like, a lot of people ask me as well, like, how you balance sneakers with your 9-to-5? How you balance sneakers with your life? And I explain it how.
I mean, I 1000% get that with you, because I balance a 9-to-5 with, you know, with performing and comedy shows, plus running this podcast. Yeah. Plus, I have other side hustles that, again, we don't need to talk about on air. you know what I mean? Always have to have 3 or 4 money-making ideas at all times. So let me ask you this. Before I let you go, because I'm going to wrap this up soon. First off, thank you so much for coming on.
Because this has been
insanely interesting for me. And I think
it's like a therapy session for me. Like a therapy session.
You'd be surprised how often I have to tell people when they come on the show. I'm like, yo, I'm not a therapist. I need y'all to know that. Like, I have to say that often to people because I feel like it's a catchphrase on the show. I was like, I'm not a therapist. I am not a licensed therapist.
Yeah, but like, I speak to people online all the time. Like, the fact that I'm talking to someone that I grew up with and actually knew me, I get happy about that because I talk to hundreds and thousands of people weekly that are strangers. So seeing someone that I knew grew up makes me happy.
Right. No, and I feel the same way. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was so excited for this episode. Like, you know what I mean? When I got you on the calendar, I was so hyped. I'm like, yo, finally, like, number one, look. Like, people know this all the time. Like, I love Dominicans, you know what I mean? So being able to work with another Dominican is just always A1 for me. Wow. My whole life is a lie.
Okay.
So,
listen. So.
Wow.
Mira.
Wow.
So, yes, I have an accent. Yes, I speak like it. Let me explain to you how. My vecinos are Dominicans. They raised me. The wife is from Capital. Husband's from Bonao. That's how. Yeah.
This entire time, I thought you were Dominican.
Yes. You see me all the time in the coros. You see me all the time drinking Mama Juana and everything. I know.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's confusing. It threw me off. All right, but it's fine. Either way, it's nice to talk to somebody I grew up with. You know, we're both Latinos from the Bronx. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole experience that, like, you can't, unless you grew up in it, you will never fully understand.
Nope.
So that's cool. I've been excited for this. So let me ask you this. There was a Netflix show called Sneakerheads,
yes,
which I'm sure you saw.
Yes.
How realistic was that to the actual experience? Like, obviously, I know they
So the first two episodes was not realistic. After that.
Why?
That's when it been realistic. So the third episode so on, it that's how it is normally in our life. That's how nobody it is in our life.
So what wasn't realistic about the first episode?
Okay, so I remember the first two episodes. The guy brought a pair of sneakers. And it was... It was a specific sneaker. And the guy told him, don't get that sneaker. Get another pair of sneakers because it's worth more. And the guy was like, da, 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 da. And that's not realistic. I've seen situations before that in that specific moment, that would never happen. It would either they would get the good sneaker or they would just trade in something else. In that specific scene, the guy was very, very like wishy-washy and stuff like that. That doesn't happen in the community because that's weird. But supposedly they're gonna do another season. I'm just waiting to see when is that gonna happen. The chick that was in the show, a lot of people saying that that she related to me, which was kind of dope. The girl is actually Puerto Rican as well, and she wears sneakers as well. And I actually spoken to her, so like she has the same background as I do, which was kind of dope. So I thought that was cool too.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty dope show too, because like I was watching it and like I know you do sneakers, and do you know Eddie Pagan, who we went to school with?
No.
He was also my year. He also does sneakers. So I was like sitting there watching it, like, oh, I wonder if this is what their life is like on a day-to-day basis, you know what I mean? Imagine if, coincidentally, he's also Puerto Rican and from the Bronx, but that's neither here nor there. So before I let you go, we have two traditions on this podcast.
Okay.
The first is we like to pick a charity or an organization to highlight at the end of every episode. Do you have a charity or an organization that you're particularly passionate about?
There is one that I really like because I'm really supportive of the LGBTQ community. When I was in college, I witnessed all the stuff that was happening with the LGBT groups. So, like, I used to, like, stand up for them and everything. One of the things that that I really like is called the Trevor Project. Okay. The Trevor Project is pretty much a I saw this on RuPaul's Drag Race because I really watched a lot of the shows and stuff. And pretty much is helping LGBTQ youths and communities, you know, help themselves and stuff. You know, suicides has an increased rate in the LGBTQ community. There's a lot of discrimination going on to the LGBTQ community. So this organization basically helps and highlights people in the LGBTQ community. They do so many things. A lot of celebrities really, really support this project. A lot of people donate in this project. They have a website and everything. It's really dope. You guys should check it out. It's called thetrevorproject.org, and it gives you all the information and how much they impacted. You could even volunteer for to help people in the LGBTQ community as well through the website.
That's pretty dope. The last thing is, we also have a tradition where we ask our guests to share a quick childhood story that puts a smile on their face or just makes them laugh, which is going to be dope for me because I might have known you when this story happened. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, so when I was young and kid, our music teacher used to already assign us instrument. I wanted to play the electric bass. He didn't want me to do electric bass. He wanted to be a violin just like my sister. I'm like, why do you want me to be like my sister? I just want to be myself. And I remember I fought my way to play that instrument, and I was able to play that instrument. So it brought a smile to my face because I'm a type of person that I stand up for myself. And also, like, I'm the type of person that always fights my way. And if I want something, I'll make sure I get it, even though I will get, I won't be able to do it, but I will still, you know, figure out a way, which is why it's an advantage on me when it comes to sneakers, because I've been to situations before that I got denied by corporate and stuff and brands, and there were situations that other brands would pick me and, you know, work for them and, like, do stuff with them. So that's, like, a kind of reminder to myself.
That's pretty dope. And just for you, so you guys can hear the other side of this story, I actually wanted to be a drummer, and he was like, and they were like, no, you're going to be a viola player. Not a violin, a viola. And then after a few months on the viola, they're like, actually, go sit with the cello players over there. Just go sit in the cello players. Just hide in the back. They're like, matter of fact, don't even put rosin on your bow. Just pretend that you're playing the instrument with the rest of us. That's what you're going to do for the next 3.5 years. So I did it quietly. But it's all right. Guess what, though? When we performed at Carnegie Hall, I was on stage. When we performed at the Apollo, I was on stage. So I did it. I was there. I see you laughing quietly over there.
Because I didn't know that. Because when I came in, you was already in the cello. So I didn't know you was in the viola. I didn't know none of that. Like, I didn't know that at all.
No, yeah. I did not pick the cello. I didn't even know what a cello was. As a matter of fact, I had never heard of the viola or the cello. I had never heard of either of them. I wanted to be a drummer. And they were like, nah, you just go sit over there. Just go be quiet. Don't say nothing. So that's that. And that's what I did for 3.5 years. And as soon as I could stop playing instruments, I did. It was not my forte. If I could go back, though, I think I would try to be an electric bass player like you. I think that was the coolest instrument.
I don't regret it. I do regret them not allowing me to do sports. I wish
you didn't.
I wasn't allowed.
Why?
A certain teacher used to tell other teachers to not put me in a team because A, of my grades, and B, because music was important. So that teacher used to tell them, don't allow me in sports.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And my,
but I have a few,
you could ask anyone in middle school. When it came to gym time and basketball, I was nice. But that kind of discouraged me because of that.
I could vouch for you. I know you were nice. You were quick. Here's the thing. And I'm accounted to that. I actually was on the basketball team. The B-side basketball team. Don't be impressed, y'all. I was trash. But I remember, and I think we're speaking about the same person here, so I'm not going to throw names out there. But I wanted to play baseball. My dream was always to play professional baseball. That was, like, my thing, right? And I remember I had baseball practice one weekend, and there was, like, a concert.
Yeah.
That same weekend, like, at a Gap. Like, we were performing at a Gap, which was cool, right? It is what it is. It was cool. Like, I'm glad that I got to do that. But I said, I was like, yeah, I can't make the concert because I have a baseball practice. And I got yelled at and I got in trouble and it was a whole mess that I did not want to have to do. I wish
back then we was able to stand up for ourselves, but we were so young and...
Yeah, we're little kids.
Yeah, we were little, yeah.
Anyway, before I let you go, do you have any last words for the revisionaries?
Yeah, what I will say to you guys is stick to yourselves. You know, there's going to be points in life that people are going to, you know, question you and they're going to make sure that, you know, change yourselves and all that. Don't do that. There's been situations before in my life that he knows that the certain people that we was around with used to tell us, no, you're going to do this with your life. You're going to do this with your life and you're going to do such and such and such. I was one of those people that told them, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to do it my own way. And look where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm. No, 1,000%. 1,000%. And where can the revisionaries follow you?
So the revisionaries could follow me on my Instagram. Kick It With Diti is KickItWit 2Ds.
So Kick It With Diti, for those of you guys out there. It'll be in the show notes if you guys are interested. But look her up. She's super cool. And, you know, like, I don't know. We were always cool, too, since we were little. Like, it wasn't even like... she was always one of my favorite people. So it's always, like, mad love here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Enjoy the rest. No, anytime. And take care.
Take care. The Revisionary
Podcast. See, I learned so much about sneakers throughout that episode. Like, I didn't even realize how it worked or like the resale value or all of that. Personally, like, I get it. Like, you know, I get the culture behind it. I get it's cool, but I'm personally not a big enough fan of sneakers to ever spend that much money on sneakers. I mean, I think it's cool and like, I think it's unique. And shout out to you, you know, respect to you if you're into it, because I think that whole world is so interesting and I love hearing about it. I love learning about it. I love listening about it. But I personally don't think that I would participate in that world. But that's so cool that she's a part of it. And I'm so glad that she sat down with us on the Revisionary Podcast. Like, I really enjoyed her story. And it was very reminiscent, you know what I mean? Being able to catch up with her on two different levels was so cool. Like, it's like an extra layer of dopeness that I don't know if I'll be able to recreate on this podcast. Because, again, of how close our relationship was in terms of, like, how long I've known her. So... I want to say thank you again for listening to the Revisionary Podcast. As always, you guys are the best. Thank you for listening. This is the Revisionary.